Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Maprem Kendra. Kendra came across sannyasins when she was just 10 years old and lived in all the Osho communes since 1978. Kendra was privately and personally guided by Osho in all her experiences of meditations, work and relationships. Today, Kendra leads monthly meditation events in Maui, Hawaii and runs a jewelry business. Hello, Kendra. Welcome to the Love Osho podcast. How are you?
Aloha, Swaram. I'm well, thank you. Thank you so much, and it's an honor to be here.
It's my honor, my pleasure. So I'm super excited to talk to you today. You have so many stories to share that we will need a whole series of interviews to capture them all, but I'll do my best to touch upon some of your experiences with Osho. You have almost 50 years of Osho experience under your belt. You took sannyas very early in your life. You moved to Pune when you were just a teenager. You lived in Osho's house for a period of time, and you have assisted Hasia, Osho's secretary after Sheila during the world tour. And even today, I understand you're very much involved in the world of Osho. So there is so much to cover, but let's start from the beginning. I'd love to hear how you came to know about Osho in the first place.
Well, we'll just kind of go back a bit from leaving America when I was a child at the age of 5 with my family. We started to live around the world and live in different countries, being Australia, Singapore, Indonesia. And by 1974, we had moved to Switzerland in Geneva. And I was going to school in all these different countries, but my parents, both artists and architect, very open, spiritual in their own way for the times. And we ended up in Switzerland and living in an apartment complex and playing in the park with all the other children. My brothers and I started being drawn to these other kids, and the other kids was one very small little boy that I fell in love with, who had, was Swami Siddhartha, and he was 1 year old, and his auntie, her name is Ma Prembhadra, she was a few years older than me, and so we would just hang out and play. And they thought we were cool, and we thought they were cool, and we just started to say we gotta, you know, meet our parents. And in the end, we ended up in a birthday party for Siddhartha when he was 2 years old. And at that birthday party, there was just a few kids, but the rest were adults, and the adults were artists and musicians and yogis and all kinds of very interesting people. And in amongst that were two sannyasins, Ma Diksha and Swami Krishnabharti, Italian Diksha and American Krishnabharti. They come in their orange clothes and their malas, and I was fascinated at this party. I was drawn to them. Who are these people? Who is that around their neck? What is it all about? And I just started asking them all kinds of questions, being open and curious as I was. I kind of was a child anyway that was very, I felt when I arrived on this planet that I had a mission and a path. I think I was getting closer to it, not totally aware of that, but just being drawn like a moth to a flame. And that was the start, and met them and started asking them. And they said that they are leading meditations in the meditation center and that I should come and try. And where, you know, I introduced them to my parents, and my parents were very interested in the meditations. So on the weekends, during the week, it was a karate studio. And on the weekends, they rented it for Osho meditations. So I remember very, very vividly the first time that I walked into that studio. They had put up a life-size photo of Osho, very large, big picture of his face. I saw it and I immediately went over, and I was on my hands and knees, my head to the floor. I recognized Osho immediately, and I couldn't explain it. I just recognized it. Him, it, the space that I had known I had been before. So started doing the meditations, wanted to go every week, loved it, because we would take off our street clothes, put on some orange clothes, and do the meditations. And a few months had passed, literally only a couple months, and Diksha and Krishnabharti were going to Pune for a month to basically bring back malas if anybody wanted to take sannyas and take some things to Osho at the time that he needed. So when they asked, I was immediately, like in school, raising my hand and saying, I want to take sannyas. My parents looked at me like, whoa, you've only been in this literally a few weeks and you're already signing up. But like, they couldn't understand and I couldn't explain. I just knew this was the path I was meant to be on. And my parents kind of had to think about it and talk amongst them. So we had a few days to decide, and they let me take sannyas. So off they went. I wanted to change my name. My mother had given me the name Kendra, but I was wanting to change. I was ready to just let go of all that was given to me and start afresh at the age of 10. And they went to India. And when they came back, they had my new name and my mala. Surprise to me, he didn't change my name. He kept my name and put a prefix, Prem. And I was explained at the time that Kendra was a perfect name for me. It was a Sanskrit name that meant center. And the prefix was love. And so I got to keep my name. I didn't really want, but I was fine with that, as long as Osho was happy with that being my name and my path. And so, yeah, I had taken sannyas. The rest of the family wasn't ready. And about 6 months later, they all decided, my brothers and my parents, to take sannyas. So that started my journey and their journey. But immediately, me taking sannyas on my own, and also I just really felt that it was really my own personal journey with him, and it had nothing to do with my parents. And that continued throughout my years and my beginning years of being with Osho, and continues. It is definitely my own personal experience with him. And realize that for everybody, that it's our own unique personal experience with Osho.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. And it's wonderful to hear that your parents were really open-minded and they loved mingling with sannyasins, and then they were okay for you to take sannyas at such early age. And then I think your name is beautiful, by the way, Kendra. It's a wonderful name. It resonates. I like it so much. Okay, so you are 10 years old. You took sannyas you kind of open the way for the whole family to kind of follow and fall in love with Osh as well. And then I understand you moved to Pune in the commune, and you live there obviously for many years to come. And you also moved inside Osho's house in Lao Tzu. So there was a limited number of people who were allowed to live there just because of the space. And I think Osho was choosing exactly who he wanted to be living next to him. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, let me go back a little bit and just explain. When I did meet Osho for the first time in 76, the clear message that he had given to me in my first darshan with him. First of all, he had asked me how long I was coming to stay for, and I said just a couple weeks that I had to go back to school. And he said, your schooling is with me. And that everything that you learn out there, I have to unlearn in you. Now, a lot of the other kids, it was the opposite. He said, go to school. It was important. But for me and the type of person that I am, it was clear I was not to go to the normal school and get out of that as soon as possible and start my work with him. So that was really the start of igniting the fire for my mother to know she needed to come back with me or my parents, but in that time they had divorced after that period. And my mother decided to bring me back to India with my brother. So things really started to move very quickly. So my then moving back and coming in 78, I was the age of 14. And again, my first seeing Osho again in Darshan, I wasn't sure, as the protocol for pretty much everybody was to do some groups and, you know, therefore then you move on. And for me, he said, no groups are needed. I want you to do 1 month of the camp, meditation camp. Meditation camp was 30 days, well, actually 21 days, sorry. 1 month, but some things were 21. So he said 21 days for me to do from morning dynamic until the last meditation in the evening. So that was my first job or requirement from him. Then he said, when you're finished, let me know, and then you can start working. So that's pretty much what happened. And it was really important for me. I really felt I was very shy. I was young. There was a lot of these older people and a lot of younger kids. And I was at this age that was neither older nor younger. I was at in between, and there weren't that many that were my age. And if they were, I wasn't drawn to them and they weren't drawn to me. We weren't hanging out like the little kids were or the adults were. So I was in my own little bubble, but hanging out with more of the older people. They were in their 20s or so. My shyness, it really helped move me through with the meditation camp and really to open up and to feel comfortable with my own energy at that time as being a young woman, or just starting, you know, to be a young woman in amongst this amazing Buddha field commune of energies, of so many different energies. And so that really started to shift me and open me up. Then I started to work, and that again was then going back into being back into a family environment. And from that space, opportunities and experiences started opening up for me. And I, at a very young age, I had my first love, and I fell in love with Prasad, who now is no longer with us. He's passed some years ago, but he was leading the centering groups. And we got together, and when we got together, Osho found out, because he was living in Lao Tzu House, Prasad at the time. He had asked Bhagwan Osho if it would be okay if I would move in. And Osho said yes. So I was privileged to be invited as a very young adult to be privileged to be moving in to the sacred space of the master is what I, and still every day going out and being working in the kitchen or doing the jobs of everyone. I didn't have any real privileged job, but my privilege was to live with the master close in his home. Yes, so that was pretty amazing for me. And I felt very much like Osho gave me a lot of space. I didn't, like I said, I didn't get a lot of privileges. I wasn't getting any specialness or being put in a special place. I was treated like everyone else, but I was given that privilege. And that did put me into, I guess, the category of being more special than others because I lived in his home. Yeah, so.
Okay. And it's great to hear that it's, again, another testimony of how Osho was so individual, because many times I heard that he encouraged people to stay in the world or to keep studying, especially for young people, you know, either school or university would say, no, just complete your study. He was very particular on that. But in your case, for you, no, your school was in the commune.
Was with him.
And it's great. And also that instead of doing so many groups, for you was more about meditation. So you see, like it's again, very, very individual. Jumping a little bit forward, because again, there are so many things that, so today is going to be a bit different, but I really want to hear, because it's something we never covered before, talk a little about the world tour and your involvement in that and your help in Hasya. Hasya was Osho's secretary after Sheila, after all the turmoil of Rajneeshpuram. Sheila left, and Osho appointed Hasya as the new secretary to handle that very delicate moment. And I understand that Osho then asked you to support Hasya in her work. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how was to work with Hasya, maybe just to give a little bit of energy to Hasya, who passed away, unfortunately. And also, what were the jobs that you were doing? I think in particular, I know that you were involved in making a Hollywood movie. So that's really interesting to hear. And then also a magazine, something to do with the Osho asked you to create some magazines. So I think that's very interesting to hear.
Yes. So, okay. First, let's just go back a little bit. So here I'm on the ranch. I did various jobs. And I had, as some of us had, I didn't have a great relation with Sheila. From very day one in Pune, one days, it never started very good with her and me. She just didn't like rebels or those that were, Osho was somehow keeping individual or keeping in under his wing in a way she couldn't control. So that made it very hard for her, but she found her ways to get at me and make my time on the ranch quite uncomfortable when she could. So in my various jobs, in the beginning, I had been invited back to the ranch from Osho, and I started my jobs, various different, we don't need to go into that. And I was, again, back in that place where I was caught in between. I had been dating and together with, his name at the time was Dion John, and he was part of the Hollywood gang. There was a group of people called the Hollywood Group, and that consists of Kavisha Ma Prem Kavisha, who's passed away, but her name was Kavisha, David, Hasya, and John. And the four of them had come to the ranch. They were donating quite a bit of money for building the ranch, but also for personal things for Osho and buying him gifts. And Dion John took attraction to me, and we started dating. And so I then was in this group that was very separate. They didn't work like everybody else on the ranch. They had a little bit of a different privilege. And they were also going in to see Osho privately, apart from Sheila. And he was working with them directly with other projects. And I, being in the middle of all of that, at one point I was being put into a position where Sheila did not like me to be with a group of people that were having personal access to Osho. And she started to make it very difficult. Well, it came to Osho's knowledge that this was happening and that she was making my life very, very complicated and very painful. So one day he had been seeing Hasya about the movie and things that he wanted her to do. And he told her to come and find me in my job where I was working at the time, which was the kitchen, and to remove me. And he was going to be telling Sheila that I am no longer working under Sheila and that I will be in the Hollywood group now, and I'll be working under Hasya, and my new position will be Hasya's assistant. So at that time, Hasya had been given the project from Osho of making this Hollywood movie about him. Hasya had all the connections with Hollywood and a lot of directors and producers. So she was starting to reach out to them to make this movie, to make it a Hollywood film about this remarkable man. And so I just became her secretary and started to just do all the things that a secretary does, you know, take notes or whatever, and fly around, go to Hollywood, come back, set up meetings and things. Well, very quickly, some months had passed. I can't remember now exactly how many months had passed. Things started to go south with Sheila. Things were not going very well. Things started to come out about Sheila. And that's when she then left. And as soon as she left, then Osho immediately appointed Hasya to be the secretary and I to be her assistant. Now she had many other people to help do all the jobs, Garimo, Anando, many different people, but I was to be Hasya's assistant. From that point on, things, as you can imagine, were very intense and firing up, and a lot of legal things started to happen on the ranch. And so that's when it was best that Osho take a break and fly out of the ranch for a period of time until we could somehow create a bit of peace and work things out. And that's when he was incarcerated in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I was on a flight in the middle of the night with Hasya to North Carolina, and at the time Jayesh, because they were already they were dating at the time. And so we flew to North Carolina and immediately was there to find out what had happened and take care of keeping Osho safe and getting him out of there as fast as possible. So that was 1 week of intensity where I have a lot of, you know, not a lot, but some very interesting stories around that, and seeing Osho from being, you know, sitting up on the podium looking regal and huge, and his energy just big, to suddenly this very vulnerable, and yet so powerful, so strong, so beautiful, so radiant, and at the same time so fragile that we didn't know if, you know, we were gonna, if he was gonna make it, because they were making his stay in the prison very uncomfortable. So I somehow found my ways to get into that that jail and get him his food that somehow he could eat, or a blanket that wasn't wool because he was allergic to wool. And I just, the thing that was starting to happen for me, and I might be jumping from being, you know, from being Hasia's assistant, it really moved from being her assistant to really being there and holding space for Osho. It was like, yes, Hasia had me running around doing things, but at the same time, we all just had to take a lot of responsibility and just follow our own guide, our own truth, and what we felt was needed at that time for the safety of Osho and his health. And I found myself doing that, you know, and getting supported by Hasia, of course, but just finding, I kind of slipped through the cracks and was able to get beyond the barriers to the prison guards and getting them, you know, and handing them things, and they're feeling my love and my devotion for Osho, somehow getting those things into him past the rules and regulations of the jail. So yeah, being Hasia's secretary ended up, I think I just kind of ended up morphing into becoming kind of holding space as we all kind of had to take on as a small group responsibility wherever we could see, you know, and then in the world tour also, it just continued to be that.
Yes, I'm sure you have many stories and anecdotes to tell about that time during Osho's incarceration and during the war tour. I know that you were responsible for looking after the personal belongings of Osho and getting them cleared at custom. That must have been quite a challenge, but I'm sure all of that will be part of your upcoming book, which we will talk about that later on. I think for the purpose of today's interview, I'd love to focus a bit more on trying to understand things that normally we don't know about Osho. For example, you had a private meeting also with Osho in Uruguay. I think it was quite a special time, and a book, Beyond Psychology, was produced out of the talks that he gave during the time. And they're very special talks, very different, let's put it this way. So yeah, tell us a bit about that time, that very intimate time in Uruguay, and what did you discuss with Osho during his stay in Uruguay?
Yeah, it was a very magical, mystical time. I think for all of us that had the privilege to be there with him, it was the start of the mystery school, I felt, and his work in that direction of the school of mysticism, and to where his work started to expand into that next level, and with his disciples, with his sannyasins. And so his discourses, I think it's probably one of my favorite books, because it touches that place that was touching me, hypnosis and all of those mystical aspects of connecting with ourselves, and through, you know, him teaching and guiding us. He was really guiding us, because every day we were the only ones, we were a handful of people, and every day he wanted to talk. So we had to come up with questions, and really meaningful questions, and to tune in what not for us more, but for the world at large, for mankind, and to tune into that during the day and write our questions and submit them to him. And then he would choose every day a few questions to answer. So we all were really put on the spot with that, but we went all very deep into really tuning in deeper than that superficial level of, you know, my boyfriend and me or this or that, to really go very deep. And so that, like I said, started a new beginning of the work that Osho then, I feel, continued on in Pune too and until his death, that it changed. It was a turning point of his work. And so every day coming up with these questions and every day sitting there and hearing him answer them and journeying with him into our own inner journey of this new path that we were going. We were starting a new line. It wasn't anything familiar, and everything was so unknown. Countries were constantly saying no to him and allowing him to come in. And we didn't know about tomorrow, very similar to what we are living now. There was really the now, and he really kept us on that razor's edge of be here and now. This is it. This is only it. And so we all would just do our daily chores of whatever it was to just keep the things going, take care of him, figure out where, you know, if he was going to be able to stay in your way or have to move to another country. But to really just go back into the isness of now and what is that for all of us? And so there we were, and we were just getting blissed out, all of us, in that amazing bubble of a space with him. Yet at the same time, I felt this urgency from Osho, and that was that, yes, but don't become too complacent. Don't get too used to this, because I need to be with my people, all my people. We need to find a place for me to continue my work. I have more to do. It's not, you know, and we need to find the place. And Hasia and Jayesh at the time were off in Europe looking for and waiting for permission to see if we could get into Spain. And these political and all that bureaucratic stuff takes time. It's not just yay or nay. It takes time. And so they kept putting it off, saying, yeah, come back tomorrow. And they kept going to the office trying to find out where can we bring Osho next, that his people can come and he can do his work. And at the same time, there were a couple people in South America looking in South America where we could be. And I was there, you know, with the group. And one day came, you started to feel a little bit of something was kind of encroaching. Energy was shifting. There was a bit of a disturbance in energy. I could feel it coming from Osho also. And after the discourse, Vivek came down, Nirvana came down to ask me to come up to see Bhagwan Osho after the discourse. I was quite shocked because I had not been invited to go into his room or to discuss anything with him. Wasn't sure what he was going to be asking me, but of course I was there. And in the room was Nirvana and Anando and myself. And Anando, being a lawyer, she knew a lot of the legal things that were going on, and she could answer those legal questions. Now, if you have to understand, I'm only like 22 years old here at that point. So I was in touch with Hasia as much as I could to find out what was going on. But the amazing thing was to walk into the room and to be in that presence. I had just been sitting with him in a discourse, but to go into his private quarters and sit at his feet, it's like everything stopped. And there was this amazing void of energy. It was not void of emptiness, but void of fullness. It was this amazing energy that he was giving out, and also very stern, very present, very concerned, and also giving out the feeling of urgency. And he had asked me, so what is the latest from Hasia? And I had let him know at the time what was going on. And he said, I am not feeling good here. We need to make things, or I'm feeling that we're, you know, getting pressure from the outside. I feel that we need to move. And he was picking up something that we could feel, but not as powerful as he could feel. Osho was picking up something that was going to be happening a few days prior to it happening and alarming us to either we have to make some changes immediately or it could be a problem. So basically, we discussed some things. I had to take notes to take to Hasia to discuss with her, but we needed to make some changes within the 24 hours, and we knew Hasia was not going to be able to make it back to Uruguay at the time. So that was a very amazing experience for me to be there, because I also realized here was a man. I mean, we all knew Osho had the ability to be able to know what was going on, as many have shared, without even us realizing, even in ourselves, he would know everything that was going on around. So when you got a message from the master that things needed to be changed, we needed to make some moves, that we moved forward with that. And from that point on, I mean, it was a very intense time, you know, my time being with Osho during the world tour, I think for all of us, because there was never a moment of being able to just sit back and put your feet up and chill. We had to keep on our toes 24/7 and keep aware. But he created in all of us like that, like I said, that energy of thinking out of our own and starting to use that extra sense of beyond our own linear way of thinking, to go further than that and to start to have your own senses and pick that up. And I feel that that has really become something that I carry with me in my life now very much. And like in this time that we are living now with so much uncertainty and just unknown of where it's all going to go, I, in all of this, have felt very calm. And I feel that all my years of being with Osho, change was always happening so often that I became at a very young age used to knowing that in change is inevitable, and that we all need to change, and things are changing around us all the time, and that we need to just be flexible, open, because when we're relaxed and flexible and open, we can sense. And that is something that he really taught me. He really taught me to just let go and let it flow, and really to let things happen and just go with them. Don't fight them. And at the same time, be present, be vigilant, and That was what he carried. It was, he went with the flow. You saw things that were happening that he just was able to just let go and let things happen around him. They weren't maybe very comfortable in times, but you saw him just relax. There was never a moment that he was, oh, this is not conforming to my way. He just went with it. He was very relaxed. He didn't, being in the prison, in the jail, he just made friends with people, relaxed, and just let it, you know, we were more uncomfortable with him being in those conditions. He was fine. And same with the world tour. We were all maybe more nervous and trying to make it comfortable and not getting him exposed to certain experiences or situations. He was fine. He just, and I learned watching him, wow, you know, this is the way we all somehow, and I've learned how to do that in my life more and more.
That's amazing, because, you know, to be able to be present, relaxed, and take action when it's needed, but at the same time, let flow, you know, because with Osho, it's all about, you know, accept and letting go. But then the risk with that is that you get lost. And whereas, you know, it's this art of balancing between being present, but accepting and being in a flow. And it's a massive lesson that I try to apply every day, because with Osho, that's his path. And it's very different from many other traditions, spiritual tradition or self-development approaches that we see nowadays, that are, that you need to take control over your life. You need to be the master of your life, which has a value. But with Osho, there is that, but there is a lot of accept and relaxation and letting go. I found it very challenging to do. So, you know, to hear it from you that you had that experience, you saw his life example and you imbibe that and you applying it in your life, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up that he, in many ways, you know, my family brought me up to a certain age. But as soon as I walked into that ashram in Pune One, my family, my experience, my teacher was Osho and became that. And so he was my mentor, my guide. And I watch and I learned and I experienced. And he showed me a lot of very simple things, but at the same time, in these I just feel is really honored that, wow, me, I got put into these. I look back and at the time, you're just going with it. You're just saying yes, and it's what's happening, and you're just doing it. And there is no thinking back. You're just going with the flow. Boom, boom, it's happening. But as I now am recalling that and bringing those memories up, and just I'm like, wow, it's pretty remarkable. And that I realize that's how I'm actually more, that I'm living. I'm not saying I'm 100% that, and that I, but I do apply, and I, and in very stressful or moments that are very intense, I become really calm. It's almost like I go the opposite. And I feel that that's what I was like. He was that still point in the storm. He was the center of the cyclone. He was that place that was still, quiet, and everything else around was chaotic and flying all over the place and everything. And there he was. And I would be maybe in that tornado and flying around and watching him and seeing how he could in all of that and it not affect him. Yeah.
Yes, that's a... It's a beautiful gift in life to be able to witness that phenomenon. So, well, yeah. Amazing. So yeah. We are heading towards the end of the interview. I know that we are leaving out so much more that you can share, but thankfully you had the great idea to collect all your life experience and stories into a book that is in the making. So I'd love to mention something about the book, and then I have three final questions. And before that, maybe if there is anything else you want to add before I shoot the last three questions.
Okay. So with the book, it's in the process and I'm marinating still with it because I feel, as I mentioned, for me, the importance, and I think this is also for you, Swaram, is meditation and getting meditation, and especially Osho's meditations, out there to the world more, that they become almost mainstream, almost like that they could be brought into the schools when people my age, when I came to Osho, had a taste, had an experience, and if they liked it, they could continue to investigate that. And I feel that in my book, I want to combine not only my life experience with Osho and all these wonderful stories. Stories are beautiful and they're important and they're fun and they bring the flavor. But really in there is to bridge that gap of getting Osho's work out there in the form of the meditations. It was my path. It really was beneficial for me at a young age and continues to be in my older ages. It doesn't stop. The forms may change, but meditation is like brushing our teeth. It's something that it needs to be practiced on a daily basis of one form or another, in one way or another. And in my book, I really want to bridge that. That is really where I want to bring that across to people from my own experiences and stories. So, yeah. And yeah, being with Osho and having to have that, I feel so honored, yes, to have come in to be with a man like him that only comes around every few thousand years. And I happen to be there at such a young age and to have learned so much and continue to. And yet I also feel in this time that doesn't even matter anymore for people like you or even for my husband partner, Suhewa, who never got to meet Osho, but is living and experiencing so much from him without having to be in his physical form. Being with Osho in his physical form was amazing. It was like being in the brightest light that you can imagine, that you didn't even have to think about your own light. You were just lit up all the time. And you focused, or my focus for me was a lot on him. And he was a lot saying, don't look at the finger pointing to the moon. Look at the moon. Look where I'm pointing. But I was so fixed on looking at him. One, he was beautiful to look at and to learn from and all of that. But I did get caught in that in a way, as he has many times spoken about, the master becomes the obstacle in the path of your own self discovery. And now that he has passed, I feel Osho more strong in me than when he was in his body, because there was the form that I was so fixated on and the light that I was so bathed in. Now it's up to me and my own responsibility, my own light. And when the wick starts to get dim, I got to go and work on it and keep it bright. And it gives you even more when you have to have your own work and your own keys to unlock your own inner truth. Everything that he was saying, but we've got to find it for ourselves. And I feel that, yeah, his work is more powerful now coming through people like you, Swaram, doing the work that you're doing is amazing. That's Osho doing his work. And you probably wouldn't have been able to do it when he was in his body, because there's so many other things were going on that only now, but it's his work is getting out more and more to people because the form is no longer there.
I love it. I really love it. And it's very encouraging to hear. First of all, your intention to bridge these two worlds and bring Osho meditation into the world. And Chetan and I have been cooking these ideas for many years. And it's definitely something that we are very passionate about doing it.
Yeah.
And then, yes, I mean, I cannot totally understand that Osho's finger is so beautiful and it's so easy to get attached to that. It happens to me even today, even though Osho is no more, but just looking at him or hearing his voice, his attraction is phenomenal. But yeah, what you're saying, it makes a lot of sense. And perhaps today, if I understand correctly, you're saying that it can be easier to detach from Osho, the physical form, and go to what his message and imbibe his message, because ultimately that's what it is about. So, well, thank you so much. That's really beautiful. I love it. So I've got three final questions. The first one is, what is Osho's greatest contribution to the world?
Good question. His greatest contribution to the world, I feel it's inner truth, everybody's inner truth. And for me, love, the inner, you know, it's the ultimate answer is love. You know, you remove everything. What is the message? For me, is love. And his greatest message and contribution is love. And for that each, we all have the ability to, and we will, in either this lifetime or lifetimes to come, we all will wake up. We all are on that path, and that there is, and he's just a great messenger along the way of evolution, of awakening to the human race. And I really feel that that is a great contribution. And his work and his words will continue for thousands of years. Yeah.
So the second last question is, what is the most beautiful gift you received from Osho?
My own inner light, my own inner truth, that he just keeps reminding me to just go in. It's all the answers are within. And that I just feel is really his message to me is just, you know, I gave you all the keys, Kendra, just pull out what you need and carry on, and you're doing the work. And so my own inner guide, my own inner light and truth. Yeah.
Okay. So the last question is, you leave the Osho experiment and you arrived actually very early in your life to Osho. What does it mean to you to be with Osho today?
To be with Osho today is to be, I feel, is like Osho is in me and there is no separation. Whereas I mentioned before, there was more the fixation on him, and now it's all in the internal, going in, and I just, there is no separation, that he is there. And when I'm feeling that I'm off balance or not in touch, he's right there reminding me. I do have lots of photos of him around my house still, and I do listen to him and play his discourses in my meditations that I lead. He continues to be an amazing guide and always fresh and something new to be contemplating on and reminded of. So his work continues. And he just says, yeah, keep it up. Keep it up.
Yes, absolutely. Keep it up. And look, it's been such a great pleasure to connect in with you. I really feel your beautiful energy. You're like a shining sun. And I love what you're doing in, and just, yeah, keep it up, keep going, write the book, keep sharing Osho, and share the love you have in your heart.
Oh, thank you, Saram. You too. You're doing amazing work. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Really, it's an honor.
No, thank you. My pleasure. I'm so lucky.
You are lucky. You've found yourself a wonderful job. Well done. Well done. Well
done. Okay, Kendra. So, yeah, thank you so much. Send you lots of love and a big hug. And thanks again for being part of the Love Osho podcast.
Oh, thank you, Saram, very much. Thank you. See you.
See you. Bye.
Namaste. Ciao.
Namaste.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.